Good morning, everyone. Today we're going to be talking about a topic that's going to affect many in your families, many of your friends, many of those you work with and go to school with. Because the Bible clearly teaches that there is a place of eternal torment. Today we're going to be talking about that. Hopefully you can use that to help friends and neighbors know Christ as their Savior. There really is an eternal torment place. And if you don't believe it, hopefully the Word of God will convince you by the time we're done, because when you have a strong faith that there's a heaven to be had and a hell to be shunned, it'll move you to tell your family. It'll move you to put those tracts out. It'll move you to speak to people about receiving Christ now before it's forever, eternally too late. So we're going to stand, we're going to honor God as we look at Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Father, help us as we study your word today to get a holy fire in us, to move us to proclaim your word to the next generations. Father, without the preaching of the word, you tell us in your word there is no salvation. Somebody has to proclaim it. Father, may that somebody be us. And Lord, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. There are times in the scriptures when our Lord opens the veil. We live in this present world. We live in a world of taste and touch and smell and hearing and vision. But there's another world coming. And in that world, wherever you go, it's forever. I praise the Lord for that, for those of us that know we're going to heaven. That's a wonderful truth, that we are going to be with the Lord forever. That's wonderful. But for those that are not going to heaven, for those that have not personally received Christ as Savior, the fact that they're going to be in the lake of fire for all eternity is certainly not good news. That's why we must share that truth now. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. I don't know if you know it or not, but you are a missionary. You are still alive today because you are on mission for God. Your job, whether you acknowledge it or not, is to tell everybody around you the good news that Jesus Christ saves. It's the only way they can be saved. Do you understand? They're never going to get it by looking at the stars. They're never going to get it in the public schools. Many of them don't even get it in the churches they attend. Many churches are teaching, if you're a good person, you're going to be just fine. If you keep these 13 rules, you're going to be just fine. Folks, by the works of the law, and by any other works any person could possibly do, you're not going to be saved. There is one way to eternal life, and that way is through personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from that, there is no salvation. We know from scriptures that there are two worlds. There's this world we live in right now, sight, sound, taste, smell, hearing. But there's another world coming. And that world is where we're going to spend the rest of eternity. On this earth, we get 70 or 80 years. Some people live to be 100, but not many. That means most of us are going to be gone before 100. And so you do a little math. I'm 78. If I go before 100, that means I've got 22 years left. That's it on the outside. I'm probably not going to make that. But I want you to understand there is going to come an end point of your life and mine on this earth. And then we're going to transition. And that transition can be absolutely wonderful. They tell me the colors in heaven are so rich you just can't imagine. Folks, I'm looking forward to it. I hope you're looking forward to that. If you're not sure, you need to get sure. Because the other place where people go, there are only two places. People either go to heaven right now with the Lord when you pass this earth in your soul, or you're going to Hades or Sheol, a place of torment awaiting further, worse torment. Those are the only two places. There's no in between. And so as we study the scriptures, we're looking beyond the veil now, because Jesus Christ is going to open the veil enough to show us what to expect next. Our Lord Jesus, in his word, told the story of two men that died. These are two actual men. This is not a story. This is a true fact. This is what happened because Jesus is telling us about it. In Luke chapter 16, verse 19, it says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Folks, it's an interesting fact that these are two men that actually lived, actually died, and went to the place in the Old Testament where saints went. Saints in the Old Testament went to a place called Hades, but it was a place also called Abraham's bosom. It was a place of pleasure, plenty, and no needs. The rich man didn't go there because he had not trusted the Lord as his Savior. You say, "Well, Jesus wasn't even born yet." You see, in the Old Testament, people did believe in God as their Savior. David said, "I praise God, my Savior." David didn't plan on getting to heaven by keeping the law, because David was what? David was an adulterer and a murderer. He knew he wasn't getting to heaven by his own works. He trusted God as his Savior. Mary, the mother of our Lord, said, "I praise God, my Savior." Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, and he longs to be your Savior. He doesn't want you to trust in anybody or anything else, including your own good works, because you, just like me, are a sinner. And no matter how many good works you do, it can't take away your sin. And so you need a Savior too. So we're going to look behind the veil right now. We're going to look at what happens when a man or woman, boy or girl, dies on this earth. We're going to look behind the veil to see what the Lord says about this. because it's extremely important you understand, because a good understanding of this is going to move you to want to tell your family, I have unsaved loved ones. I want them saved. Why? Because I know what's coming next. I know, according to the Word of God, what's going to happen to them the very second they die. And it's going to continue to happen to them for all eternity. I want my whole family in heaven. I know you probably do too. But I want to move you to get talking with your family and friends about what happens next. Again, Luke chapter 16, verse 23, this is the Lord Jesus speaking here. He's telling you about two men who actually lived on this earth and died near the same time, and what happened next. He says, in Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. And you might say to yourself, why would anybody in Abraham's bosom looking into Hades want to go there? Because of compassion in their heart. Those people are suffering. Those people are thirsting. Those people are hungry. And there's nothing they can do about it. But even if you wanted to go, you can't go. Folks, it's extremely important for you to understand what's coming. The Greek word for hell is Hades. And the Hebrew word for hell is Sheol. Every time you see those two words, once in a while, it'll be interpreted grave. But if you study the context, it's never talking about the grave. It's talking about what's beyond the grave. Because there is something beyond. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the same thing happens to the body of those of us that die. We were dust when God created us. We're going to be dust after he's done with that old body on this earth. But folks, there's a whale of a difference between what happens to a soul and the spirit of a man, woman, boy, or girl that dies with the Lord compared to a man, woman, boy, or girl that dies without the Lord. And that's what I want to stress to you today. So first we're going to start. What happened to Old Testament people that died before the Lord rose from the dead? So we're going to go through it a little slow here because it's important you understand there's a slight difference between old and new, but not much. And so it's important to understand how many billion people have lived on this earth. You know, they don't know. Right now, we know there's about 8.5 billion people on this earth, but we don't know how many people lived generations ago. But stop and think, if there's 8.5 billion now, probably at least another 8 to 10, 15, 20 billion before that. Folks, that's a lot of people. How many are in heaven with the Lord and how many are in hell? We don't know yet, but we will know one day. Before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when people died, their bodies went into the grave or a tomb or were buried at sea or were burned. So the saying of the Bible, you were made from the dust of the earth, and to the dust of the earth, you're going to return. It's absolutely true. That was true for believers, and that was true for unbelievers. The body goes in the grave or wherever, and it decays, and it becomes dust. That's what happened. But there's a real difference between the soul and the body. This body is temporary. It's changing all the time. One of these days, it's going to be resting and decaying, and it's going to be dust. But my soul, your soul, and your spirit are eternal. They don't go to the grave. They go either to heaven now, or they go to Hades now. take your choice, but for me and my family, I want to choose heaven. In Luke chapter 16, verse 25 again, Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime, you received good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place. Those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family. For I have five brothers, let him warn them, so they will not also come into this place of torment." It's interesting, before the Lord's resurrection, there was a man named Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, and he died, and he was buried. And 4 days later, the Lord Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and he walked around his community. He was busy telling about the Lord. But how did the people respond to Lazarus? Pharisee leaders wanted to put him to death. They wanted to put him to death because many were believing in Christ because of him. So if they won't trust Moses, even somebody raised from the dead is not going to make a difference. So I like to think about death because I know where I'm going. But many people that are dying, I mentioned in Sunday school, every day, whether you know it or not, on this earth, 150,000 people die on average every day. Most of those people are not going to heaven. Christianity as a whole makes up about a third of the religions of the earth as far as population. There's about 1.5 billion people that claim to be Christian. But out of those 1.5 billion that claim to be Christian, how many really know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior? And I'm going to tell you, the majority don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They call the name of Jesus, but they have never personally said, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe with all my heart Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and I want to personally receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." If you've never said something close to that, if you've never confessed your sin, if you've never received Christ, I don't care how often you come to this church, you are not going to heaven. It doesn't work that way. Church membership won't get it done. Baptism won't get it done. Being a good person isn't going to get it done. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." And if you don't choose him, you aren't going. Our Lord wants us to know that in Matthew 7, verse 13, Jesus gives us a warning. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." What does that mean? That means most people are not going to heaven because most people have never received Christ as their Savior. He goes on in Matthew 7 and verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I'll say to them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Wait a minute, evildoers? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we teach in your name? Didn't we do all this in your name? But Jesus said, "I never knew you." You know what that word "knew" means? It means you were never a part of my family. You were an outsider. The only way you get to be part of God's family is through personal faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus, a very influential Pharisee, "Unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God." The way you get born again is when you confess your sin and receive Christ as your Savior. Then you'll have eternal life. Until that point, it doesn't matter what church you go to, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, Jesus talked about eternity, and he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want you to go there. He doesn't want any of your family to go there. In John 6, verse 35, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I'll never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but rather raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say now, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they'll be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. I love the fact that that last quote, I am the bread of life. I am is the covenant name for God. Jesus Christ is Jehovah God who took on flesh. He's your creator God. He made the heavens and the earth, and he loved you so much that he took on flesh. He was born of a virgin. They were wrong when he said, isn't this Joseph and Mary's son? No, it was not Mary and Joseph's son. It was Mary's son, but the Holy Spirit was the Father. Folks, we're talking about Jehovah God loving you enough to come here to this earth and die for you. And all he's asking you to do is place your faith in him as your personal Lord and Savior, and you won't go to Hades, you won't go to Sheol, you'll go to heaven. Folks, what a deal we've got. It's free. So the law says that Hades is a place of torment and shame. When people go to Hades, the good part or the bad part, they're awaiting Judgment Day. Judgment Day, there are two great judgments in the Bible. There's a judgment for the church age people who come to faith in Christ, and the Old Testament saints who believed in Jehovah as their Savior. And then there's another judgment 1,007 years later for those that have never received Christ as their Lord and Savior or never trusted God in the Old Testament. So in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it talks about that a little bit. It says, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Folks, you telling people the gospel, you leading people to faith in Christ, you're going to shine like the stars. Is it important to be a witness? I want to tell you, there's nothing more important on this earth for you and I to do than to tell the generations to come, we've got the good news. We've got the best news. In both Hades and the eternal state, the Bible indicates that both punishment and blessings are going to last literally forever. In Luke chapter 12, verse 42, the Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It'll be good for that servant for whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he'll put him in charge of all of his possessions. But suppose that servant says to himself, my master's taking a long time in coming. And then he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour that he's not aware of. He'll cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with few blows. For everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So the one who doesn't know the gospel, maybe there's people that lived at different times in history that nobody was giving the gospel in their whole country. They're going to be beaten with fewer blows than those that have had the gospel preached that rejected it. The more you hear the good news, the more responsible you are. And that's why when you give the good news, we need to pray that they get saved. Because if they don't get saved, it's going to be even worse for them. Folks, this is very important. You need to understand this because we don't just give them the word and walk away. We pray before we give the word, and after we give the word, we try to go back again because they need to be discipled. They need to get knowledge of the Lord. We think the worst sins that a person can do and the most terrible punishment is going to be adultery, or homosexuality, or raping somebody, or stealing things. Not at all. Listen to what God says about that in Luke chapter 10, verse 5. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near you. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Folks, once you give the gospel to somebody, they're more accountable than they ever were in their life because they've heard the truth. The truth can do two things. If you believe the truth, it'll set you free. If you reject the truth, it's going to condemn you even worse. A rejection of a clear presentation of the gospel is the only sin that's unforgivable. Because if you don't receive Christ in this lifetime, you can't be forgiven. Now, you may reject it once and later on receive it, but if you reject it all the way till the day of your death, every time you heard of it is recorded. And you're going to give a more difficult judgment, period. And so it's important we pray for people as well as give them the gospel. Origen was a Bible scholar. I don't know how many know about Origen, but he was a Bible scholar, lived in the second century. And he believed and taught that the condemned do not suffer endless punishment, but that punishment is a source of remedy for sin. In other words, if you die a non-believer, you go to Hades, you get into the fire just like Lazarus did. You get the torment, but it'll cleanse the sin out of your life. Folks, the Bible says just the opposite. There's only one thing that can take the sin out of your life, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. Hades is not a place of torment to cleanse your sin. Hades is an eternal place. Folks, it's so important for us to understand when you come out of Hades, that judgment, the final judgment for unbelievers, you're going to go to the lake of fire. And you're going to be there for all eternity. No hope of ever getting out. I want to tell you the bad news right now today. There are churches all around us today preaching that you don't go to Hades, you don't go to Sheol, you go to purgatory. And in purgatory, it burns your sins off, and then you get to go to heaven. It's being taught all around us. That's Origen's teaching. That's not the Bible's teaching. If you follow the teachings of men, I don't care what the name on the door is, you're not going to get it done. You have to believe the truth. Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Scientists, Unitarians and Mormons and Catholics all reject the clear teaching of the Scripture that Hades and Sheol, the place of torment, is going to get you into the lake of fire, which is going to last forever. Now, if you like that teaching, you go right ahead and join those churches. But I want to tell you the truth. The Bible says, once you go to those places, you never get out. You're going to be in torment for all the rest of eternity. I would far rather trust the Word of God than to trust the teachings of men. I don't know about you. I have discovered what the Bible says. All men are liars. You need to check the Scriptures to be sure if what you're being taught is true. Once you're sure it's true, then you need to tell everybody you can possibly tell. Jesus said when he comes to the nations, he's going to judge them as sheep and goats. Sheep are his children. Goats are those that are not his children. In Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you all who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Folks, we're not saying here your works are going to save you. We're saying if you're saved, you're going to be doing those works. You're going to be helping others. You're going to be ministering and meeting needs. In 2 Thessalonians 1:5, it says, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He'll pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give you relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed, This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. Folks, there's going to be everlasting punishment. The Lord makes it ever so clear. That's why the gospel is so important for you and I to share as often as we possibly can. Men and women, boys and girls that you and I know are going to die this year if they place their faith in Christ. Yes, their body's going to go in the grave, just like a non-believer. But their soul and their spirit's going to be with the Lord forever. We have a wonderful promise, and God gives it to us over and over in His Word. Our Lord used another name for Sheol or Hades that was never used before when He preached in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. He said, "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you, anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery." So what is he saying here? That word hell that he uses, it's not Hades and it's not Sheol, it's Gehenna. He's talking about the Valley of Gehenna. And you can go back and study about Josiah, who was a king in Israel 600 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was ever born. When he became king, he was a strong believer in the Lord. And he took the temple of Moloch and destroyed it. And he took the leftovers of the temple, took it down to the Valley of Hinnom, and started a fire. That fire, just southwest of Jerusalem, became the city dump. And for 600 years, the fire never went out. Those of you a little older, I used to go with my parents to visit my grandparents. We lived on Granger and Saginaw. My grandparents lived on the east side of Saginaw. So we had to go out Hess Street, right past Central Foundry on the one side, and the city dump on the other side, right on the Saginaw River. And as a little boy, I can remember looking at those huge cupolas of Central Foundry with smoke and fire just flaming. And then you'd look over at the dump and it was always burning. I never went past that dump without a burning going on. Smelled awful. And I thought as a little boy, now I wasn't a Christian at the time, but I did know about hell. And I said, boy, this has got to be just like hell. It stinks. It's awful with the fire. Folks, that's what it's going to be like. Ted Williams was a baseball player. Some of you may remember him. A great player. When he died, his family did something quite unique with his body, and this is years ago. His family took his body, and they packed it not with ice, but they injected it with a substance that made his blood not clot. Now, he's dead. Okay, he's dead. They didn't do it before he died. So he's dead. But they did this to his body, and they put him into what looked like a big thermos. And what the scientists were saying, the doctors of that time, is that sooner or later they're going to be able to bring Ted Williams back to life. His body won't decay. As long as we keep him in that thermos and keep the temperature at the right temperature, his body will remain just like it is. Maybe you've seen Stalin's body after he looks almost like he did. Okay, how do they do that? Because the body doesn't decay when you put the right chemicals in. But they're not expecting Stalin to come back to life. But his family really thought that they could help him maybe 100 years later come back to life. Now, folks, you don't get life from death unless God does it. I don't care if you froze or what you do, you're not coming back. The Bible says it's appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So I'm not going to have that done to me. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. Ted Williams, as good a man as he was, is not coming back in that body, okay? Not going to happen. So after death in the New Testament, we do go in the grave. If you die this year, next year, 20 years, 100 years from now, your body's going to go into grave or be cremated, whatever. You're going to dust. In Genesis 3:19, it says, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. So my body, when I die, I'm going to be buried, because that's the way my Lord was. If you want to be cremated, that's your business. I'm not telling you it's wrong, but I'm going to be buried. My body is going to decay. It's going to turn to dust. But one day, my Lord's coming to those clouds. He's going to shout with the voice of the archangel, that body that was buried, that dust, wherever it is going to rise from that grave. And I'm going to be body and soul before my Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is only for believers. Unbelievers will not be at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ takes place right after the rapture of the church. We're going to go to heaven, body and soul, and we're going to stand before Jesus Christ to be judged according to what we have done from the day we received Christ until the day we died. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are. Nobody among us is living a perfect life. Don't get me wrong. But my life has been lived basically for the Lord. I'm looking forward to it because the Lord said, if you just give a cup of cold water in His name, you're never going to lose your reward. And among us are people here today that have done far more than just give a cup of cold water. I'm looking for a great reward. I hope you are. I hope you're looking forward to heaven and you're laughing. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your works one day are going to go through the fire. Not you, but your works. If what you built was gold, silver, precious stones, those are things done for Christ's glory in Christ's name. Anything you've done is going to get a reward. If everything you've done from the day you received Christ until the day you died, none of it was done for Christ's glory. None of it was done in His name. It's all going to burn up. But you're going to be saved. Why? Because salvation is through faith and faith alone. Rewards are for works done for Christ's glory and for His honor. But your salvation is totally by faith. It's so important for us to understand this. I just want to give you the finish here now. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, in other words, you're confessing that Jesus Christ is not just a man, He's my Creator God. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Folks, if you've never done that, today's the day. I can't encourage you enough because you don't know if you're going to live till tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to be alive tomorrow. But I do know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Not because of what I've done, but I place my faith in Jesus Christ as my Creator God and my Savior. I want to encourage you, do the same thing. You get one chance. You get that chance until the day you die. And the day you die, you are sealed in your decision. And if you don't make any decision, you've already decided. I'm not going to trust Christ.
Folks, you don't want to be in that boat. So, with that in mind, just one last verse and we're done. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Father, bless us today. Use us for your glory. Father, help us to trust Christ, not to trust in our works, not to trust in our obedience, but to trust in Christ's shed blood. And Father, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.